Kyle Sondland and Herbert Konings are founding partners of Security Token Group. All opinions expressed by them or guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not represent the views of Security Token Group or its subsidiaries. You should not take any opinion expressed on the show as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow any investment strategy. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Security Token Show. We're coming to you from our studio in sunny Miami, Florida. I'm your host, Herbert Konings. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host and business partner, Kyle Sondland. And before we get started, I'd like to share a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Security Token Show is brought to you by this week's sponsor, Relio. Relio is a security token issuance platform focused on disrupting capital markets by tokenizing real estate, equities, and venture capital using blockchain technology. The firm successfully closed its $4 million security token sale, which powers the RST security token, which is set to begin live trading on Uniswap soon. Relio is working with top-tier clients, including a multi-$100 million fund and prominent real estate property in New York City. The firm's cross-chain mainnet launch is set to go live next quarter, and with it, now its new funding round complete, Relio is poised to take advantage of the explosive potential of the security token industry moving forward. If you're interested in learning more about Relio's technology or the platform, check out relio.fund to learn more.
Welcome back to all of our new viewers and listeners, depending on where you're checking this out, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere that you listen to podcasts or watch video content, you're going to be able to find the Security Token Show. And we can't wait to dive into episode 92 here. The way that it works on the show is we start off with our Companies of the Week segment, where we start with two companies that I pick and Herwig picks that we think made the biggest moves in the industry. From there, we break down the top five headlines of some of the things that you just couldn't miss from the past week. Herwig then takes the lead on the industry news segment. I'll cover the market trading and new STOs, and we'll close it out with our main topic, which this week is the differences between ICOs, STOs, and NFTs. You've heard of all these different acronyms, but let's actually set the record straight and figure out what they all are.
Yeah, let's do it. But with that, Kyle, let's start off the show with first going over our companies of the week. Who did you choose?
Well, my company of the week this week is a big acronym here, CGS-CIMB. It's actually two Singapore financial services companies that merged together, and it's a financial services provider that's issued over $100 million in corporate debt via a security token. And so they've actually launched this in tranches. Essentially, a tranche means that it's the first little bit of it. And so they've actually fully oversubscribed the first $10 million tranche as a security token. It was subscribed by both retail investors as well as corporate investors and other pieces in there. And so what's happening here is that the full bond is happening via a security token offering, the full $100 million bond. Could be up to $150 million, I believe, according to the article. And there's no traditional issuance happening here at all. They made that very specific and made sure that that was clear in the press release. This is actually a very fascinating short-term corporate paper. And essentially what that means is that we're just talking about a short-term bond here, less than a year. And so this is really, really exciting stuff to see a large investment bank getting into the space, not only diving in full force with a multi-million dollar bond here, fully oversubscribing it, focusing on the security token offering itself. And I had an interesting quote here, and it was, "Through this collaboration, we are keen to explore what digital assets and exchanges hold for us as a broker in the future. In working with iStocks, who is going to be the broker as well as the exchange that will trade this asset coming soon, we were pleasantly surprised that it was completed in half the time as a traditional issuance would usually take." So this is clear validation for the security token technology. Exciting stuff. And CGS-CIMB is my company of the week.
Well,
this week.
Kyle, I mean, obviously that's a fantastic choice given the fact that it's $100 million more in bonds that are expected to be issued out here. But more importantly, they got a $10 million oversubscription. That's incredible given that we just learned about this. Good for CGS and good for iStocks and good for Singapore, which continues to prove itself as an industry hotbed for security token offerings.
Absolutely. So exciting. Great stuff here. How about you, Herwig? Company of the week.
Well, my choice is actually another very institutional company. In fact, it's called 360X, which is a new joint venture backed by none other than the Deutsche Börse and Commerzbank. So obviously this is coming out of Germany, if you're familiar with those companies, the Deutsche Börse being one of the largest exchange groups out of Germany, and Commerzbank being one of the largest digital banks out of the country with over 11 million customers and 30 corporate clients. So this is a big deal because 360X is designed, as they quote say, making things investable. So it is exactly what it sounds like. It is a digital securities platform, and their first focus is actually real estate and art. So they plan to bring their large group of customers, as well as through the exchange technology powered by the Deutsche Börse, they'll be launching 360X in order to enable investors to digitally invest in art and real estate. And given the fact that it's being done as a joint venture between two incredibly experienced companies out of Germany, I just had to give this one my company of the week, Kyle.
This is so exciting. I mean, we're talking about an international financial revolution here. My company based out of Singapore, your company in the EU and Germany, and then obviously all the focus that we take here in the US and the regulations here. This is really an international opportunity. The technology is driving capital markets. I'm just so excited about it.
It's huge. Two moves by these companies, Kyle. I'm excited now to get into the rest of the top five things that you need to know. Let's get into it.
Let's go. And moving into the top five, we're kicking off our segment this week with a digital bond launched by the European Investment Bank. Now, the European Investment Bank is actually the venture and development arm of the European Union. And the European Investment Bank has launched a $100 million tokenized bond offering on the Ethereum blockchain. Following in the footsteps of some of the other national banks that have launched similar products, the European Investment Bank is going to be working with Goldman Sachs, as well as Banco Santander and Societe Generale, who also pioneered this operation. And they're going to be launching a $100 million European bond, or Euro bond, focused on the Ethereum blockchain. And so this is fascinating, not only because of the size of this bond, as well as following in the footsteps, working with major players, but it has been rated AAA by Fitch as well as Moody's. So this is a highly rated bond using blockchain technology. This is a great step in the right direction.
Huge. This is why it's number one. This was done on the Ethereum blockchain. So it was a rated bond on a public blockchain by private institutions, as well as a government agency getting involved. And there was a central bank, the Banque de France, who actually used their own CBDC technology to help settle this transaction. So this is major, major news. You also have, as you said, Societe Generale's Forge arm, which is their specific arm dedicated to security tokens, bringing this transaction to life. So that's a major use case, and that's proof in the pudding that security tokens are here to stay.
This is absolutely fantastic. And I have an interesting quote here from the VP of the European Investment Bank, that is Mourinho Felix. And he said, quote, "Digital bonds give the bank a quicker and more streamlined access to alternative sources of finance for projects around the globe," which is exactly the gospel of security tokens we've been preaching for years. You love to see that everybody's on board with that vision and that we're building a connected international global financial system for everyone.
Absolutely. And that lets us get into number two, which is a massive funding round from a company called Paxos here in the United States, providing custody services and other infrastructure for cryptocurrency. In fact, they back actually Revolut, as well as PayPal and Venmo and Credit Suisse's cryptocurrency solutions. And that makes total sense as to why they raised $300 million, bringing their total funding to date to over $500 million and their current valuation to $2.4 billion, Kyle.
Another unicorn in the space. These guys, Paxos, focus on clearing and settlement for cryptocurrencies. A lot of that transactions, they were approved for a federally chartered bank to provide banking services. But they did specifically note that this $300 million fundraise really was not going towards opening and operating that bank. Really, it was just towards growth capital to handle the orders and the demand for their current custody and settlement platforms. This is fantastic stuff. Shows the demand is growing like crazy for their traditional services. They also have this bank layer that they're going to throw over top. All of this is fantastic, and you just can't wait to see how they use this funds moving forward.
Absolutely. I think the founder had called it confidence capital, given the fact that now their many clients can have confidence that they're going to be here for many, many years to come.
And moving into number three, we've got INX. We've covered these guys many times on the show, and this is a cryptocurrency and security token marketplace and exchange. And they have officially closed their fundraise. They have raised $125 million, folks. We're talking about $85 million from that public sale. They did the fully registered tokenized IPO. And so they did that. They also had a $7.5 million private funding round as well. And then finally, the SPAC that we covered onto the Canadian Stock Exchange, they raised another $32.5 from that. Brings it right around that $125 million mark to open not only a cryptocurrency exchange, but a security token marketplace for secondary trading of the shares that you own, and also to launch that broker-dealer to help businesses fundraise. It's just fantastic work from INX.
In fact, for those of you who've been following along, they might remember that INX already structured a deal with Open Finance Network, one of the current US broker dealers trading security tokens today. So now that the deal has officially closed, it looks like we can expect that one to go forward as well, which means soon INX will get their acquisition of OFN and we might see one full umbrella. Not to mention that INX's cryptocurrency platform should be opening up to the public later this month.
Very exciting stuff.
Number four, Kyle, Binance. An interesting update there. We saw they made huge waves a couple of weeks ago when they announced tokenized stocks, enabling international investors to access through Binance tokenized stocks representing shares in Tesla, Microsoft, MicroStrategy, and many others through their platform. And this is, of course, a big innovation for those who can't get access to these stocks very easily, but it did also raise the eyebrows of many regulators across the globe, including one specifically from Germany's regulators, BaFin, is what they're called. And that's specifically interesting because the partnered company with Binance, as well as actually FTX and Bitrex, two other cryptocurrency exchanges offering the same thing, they partnered with a company in Germany called CM Equity to make all of this possible under the right infrastructure and licenses. Interestingly enough, though, Binance Germany, the subsidiary of Binance in Germany, presumably, has been called out by BaFin specifically for not having a prospectus for the various tokenized stocks. And this is a potential violation, of course, of securities laws, leading to potentially many, many different fines and the closure of this operation. But interestingly enough, this announcement didn't mention CM Equity at all, nor has this case been made against any of the other cryptocurrency exchanges trading using the CM Equity platform. So very interesting development.
It's very interesting. I think that certainly there could be a case here of Binance being the biggest name. So naturally, they when they entered into the space, they attracted the attention of regulators in a way that maybe some of these smaller ones didn't. But that being said, it's going to be fascinating to see. I think that the regulators are going to be interested in understanding how these mirrored shares work, how the structure works. To date, we still don't know how many shares CM Equity holds in these assets and how they're being traded, what Binance is doing and their role in this. So I'm certainly sure that the regulators are trying to audit this a little bit and understand exactly what's going on. But we'll just have to see. Only time will tell whether they can actually really impart themselves on this operation or if it's going to move, whether the regulators like it or not.
Definitely. We'll be sure to keep you updated on this one. And now for number five, Fidelity, which has announced the Fidelity Agency Lending Service, which actually has been operating since 2019 internally, but now has officially been opened up for external managers to leverage. And this digital platform is actually enabling, it does not use blockchain per se, according to the announcement, but it is making it easier for clients to go ahead and get lending services against their securities. I have a quote here from Justin Aldridge, who's an SVP over at Fidelity Agency Lending, and he says, quote, "Current market dynamics, they're compelling institutions to take a more active role in their securities lending programs in order to find a competitive advantage. They believe that firms are looking for an agent lender with both new technology and the capability to serve large and complex institutions."
This is fascinating stuff. Fidelity is going to be upgrading a lot of their infrastructure. They're using automated lending, AI to leverage loan decision-making and pricing, as well as leveraging automated lending reconciliation to really upgrade the bond and loan process, which is naturally something that's always been a little bit antiquated and has needed a bit of a facelift. So this is fascinating stuff. However, we do have to say they're not using blockchain yet. These are not tokenized loans. These are not tokenized bonds or anything like that, unfortunately, but this is the first step in that direction. That's being right. Tech savvy, upgrading a lot of the infrastructure to improve clearing and settlement is is needed in the market infrastructure today, and we just love to see it from Fidelity.
A bank like that can't just overnight switch to the blockchain. They've got an existing infrastructure to upgrade. And so like you said, it's step one, and I'm confident that down the line, tokenization and blockchain will be part of that platform too.
And with that, Herwig, I think it's time for you to lead us into the industry news.
Let's do it.
And starting off this wonderful month of May news is China's central bank, which for almost 7 years has been developing a digital currency called the electronic yuan, or the e-yuan. And over the last 2 years, it's actually been rolled out across Shanghai, Beijing, and many other parts of the country. And now it turns out the central bank is really kicking it into full gear as it confirms it's working with major Chinese corporations, Ant Financial and Tencent, to help build a technical platform and expand the infrastructure for this yuan across all of China. And that means a full-scale nationwide central bank digital currency, or CBDC for short, could be in use by the end of the year. And traveling west over to Europe, we also saw a response from the Bank of England, which has announced that it has begun hiring a team of its own for a central bank digital currency. 7 jobs related to CBDCs were posted by the bank, which means it's definitely intending to begin trialing a Brit dollar or an e-pound of its own. And through no major central bank has moved as quickly as China has on this technology, you should check out our full list of CBDCs on the Security Token Market blog. Flying down to Israel, we would learn that blockchain-based securities exchange Symmetria has announced a partnership with Algorand, the blockchain protocol. This means the platform will use Algorand's blockchain to power fundraising and trading for investors and token issuers on the exchange. That's obviously a critical component for a security token exchange. And in this case, Symmetria says it chose Algorand because it was purposely built for this use case. Looking forward to that upcoming launch of Symmetria, which supposedly is later this month. And interesting news also from the Polymesh blockchain, which is another purpose-built blockchain for securities, developed in this case by Polymath, which announced that security token broker-dealer Antoro Capital has become a node operator on the Polymesh blockchain. So what does this mean? Well, it means that Antoro will be a verified participant that can secure and validate data on the Polymesh chain, essentially making sure information on the platform is legitimate. So Polymesh as a blockchain protocol is currently still in its testnet, and it's expected to go live later this year. They are currently still looking for more node operators in case you're interested. And moving into resources that you should check out from last week, we start off with an article from Richard Johnson on ValueWalk, who talks about the emergence of evergreen funds for venture capital with tokenization. It's worth paying attention to because Richard is the CEO of Texture Capital, which is a broker-dealer here in the U.S. focused on the security token space, and I happen to wholeheartedly agree with him. Tokenization changes the game for venture funds. These VC funds, which invest in startups and then they make big returns when those startups get acquired or IPO, they typically have their own investors, known as limited partners or LPs. And they invest in timeframes of 10 years because it can take a while for a company to mature and exit. However, this creates all kinds of problems for VC fund managers and also their LPs. Instead, tokenization reduces the hold time for the VC asset class while enabling the rise of evergreen funds for VCs, allowing them to essentially never have to close them up and instead get to reinvest their capital. The move could lead to an increase in VC investing overall, which I love because that means more investments going into startups and more innovation, and that's a great thing. We also saw an article come out from Finews that interviews 2 executives from Northern Trust Switzerland, asking them what they think the future of the security industry looks like. And I think it's worth checking out since they manage trillions of dollars in custody at Northern Trust. So what does the security industry look like in 2030? Well, it's pretty much everything you've been hearing on this show. Justin and Gil say that new marketplaces will emerge and with it, new asset classes for investors. And they say banks will play a new role in the custody space and redefining their investor experience. So read more for yourself when you get a chance if you're interested. And we, of course, can't get through a news cycle without Peter Gaffney's weekly edition of Tokenize This, which celebrated Miami Tech Week in this 16th edition. As tech and finance magnates descend on this beautiful city, we know one thing is certain. Yachts are coming out in full force. People want to rent them and they want to buy them, and that means opportunities for tokenization, folks. Whether it be earning yield from rentals, resales, or simply managing ownership of a boat easier, tokenization has all that, and Peter takes us through that use case. You can read more about that on the STM blog. Finally, to end the news, we have some upcoming events on Clubhouse. We have our weekly breakdown of the Security Token Show at 5 p.m. on Thursdays. And at the same time, we've also got the Spanish edition of Blockhouse, Miami's first real estate token brokerage. And of course, the Portuguese version as well, the following the same day at the same time. And it's also May, which means we're inching closer to the virtual conference known as the Digital Securities and Tokenization Summit on May 19th. It's hosted by DigiShares, and you will get to hear from leading figures in the security token industry, including from Kyle and myself, and also T0 CEO Sam Morsalehi, ArchAx CEO Graham Rodford, DigiShares CEO Klaus Scanning, among many, many others. The event is 2 days, so plan accordingly and sign up now. Check out more information at fintechdisrupt.io. And that's all the news from last week for you wonderful viewers. Let's head over to Kyle and get the latest token offerings and market updates.
Moving into the security token updates, we start with the terms of the tokenized commercial paper from my company of the week, which was CGS-CIMB. Now, when I say commercial paper, I'm referring to a corporate bond that is an incredibly short term. These loans are for short-term business expenses like payroll or operational expenses, and the paper matures 3 months from issuance, after which investors actually can decide whether to subscribe again to a fresh 3-month term. If that next tranche is oversubscribed, the subscribers of that will then be guaranteed an allocation if they choose to roll over their investments into that next term. The bonds themselves pay out about a 1.2% yield, which is actually pretty decent for a low-risk corporate bond with only a 3-month maturity. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, it will be issued on the Ethereum blockchain and is managed by Goldman Sachs, Santander Bank, and Societe Generale. I'm loving the sound of this offering, and I'm very excited to see the institutional potential for other firms. And transitioning into our new security token offerings section, we're first looking into Canadian-based firm Brox Equity, B-R-O-X, who is raising $20 million in equity for their business. Issued on the Ethereum blockchain as well, the investment is set to expose investors to Bitcoin, natural gas, and electricity. The goal of the STO is part of the Brox strategy to purchase natural gas assets to generate low-cost, environmentally efficient electricity for its Bitcoin mining farms. Brox uses 50% of the power capacity generated at its sites to mine Bitcoin and sells the other 50% to third parties. Check it out if you're interested. Next up is a local whiskey distillery from the Faroe Islands Distillery located in the remote Faroe Islands that is seeking to tokenize shares of the company via a crowdfunding offering to distill exotic whiskey. The firm began crowdfunding campaigns and raised over $700,000 since March 15th. With over 500 shareholders so far, the campaign has now been opened to investors from over 25 different countries. This isn't the first whiskey fund we've seen, but they have historically been very successful investments, and myself as a whiskey lover, I do like the sound of a Faroe Islands exotic whiskey. I'm gonna have to try that one out once they launch a product. And finally, we turn our attention to AgriNurture Incorporated, who has received approval from the Department of Agriculture and the Authority of the Freeport area of Bataan in the Philippines to launch a tokenized commodities exchange. The firm plans to launch AgriExchange to offer trading services for fiat and crypto and is seeking to go live with tokenized commodities like rice, corn, sugar, and more to allow farmers globally to hedge against their products, which is a very interesting idea. This week was a strong week for the security token markets, but also for security token market as a data company. We have some really big announcements to cover here on the market trading segment that I cannot wait to dive into. First off, we have a few new trading security tokens that came out this month. So please welcome Science Blockchain, which is an early stage blockchain venture capital fund, along with two new real estate security tokens from Realty to the trading market. Alongside a very strong week from T0, Overstock, and Blockchain Capital, which are our three largest tokens by market cap, we also saw the security token market cap break 700 million for the first time ever. This is a great milestone, and we're now 70% of the way to that billion-dollar market cap milestone. On top of that, we have officially added live price feeds for nearly 30 tokenized stocks. If you go live on stomarket.com right now, you'll see two separate tables of the trading assets. The first is the same trading tokens you're used to, T0, Overstock, BCAP, all those real estate properties, everything you're used to. However, if you keep scrolling down, you'll see our new section, tokenized stocks. If you're unfamiliar with the term and the structure, we covered it in the top five a little bit, but these are essentially mirrored shares to the public market stocks that are held by a private company in Germany, CM Equity Holdings. Binance and FTX are trading these shares on their cryptocurrency exchanges to international investors, allowing anyone around the world to have exposure to the public markets for the US stock market, that is. And as it turns out, these are highly demanded from those investors. Just today alone, as of launch, we've seen over $4 million in trading volume for these shares. In the entire month of April, for context, there was only about $3.9 million in total trading volume for the entire security token industry, which really demonstrates the size of this market and the potential of drawing these investors to the security token industry. You can now see the prices of Amazon, Google, Tesla, Coinbase, Facebook, and dozens of other tech companies and compare their trading prices to the public market variance. In the future, I'm definitely going to be covering the differences between the prices of these shares versus the public markets because I'm positive that there are going to be great arbitrage opportunities here for those savvy investors. Interesting thing to note here is that the highest volume shares were actually from a biotech company called BioNTech, which saw over 1 million in trading volume on FTX platform just in the last 24 hours. We also see Binance assets that are hot as well, with Coinbase and Tesla both doing over 500K in volume today. And there's no market cap calculations here, as we actually don't know the total circulating supply of these tokenized shares, but it's incredibly exciting, and I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions on these assets. As always, you need to do your own research. Hit me up on Twitter, send me all your hot takes, and let's get tokenizing.
And now for our main topic discussion this week, we're going to be diving into the differences between ICOs, STOs, and NFTs. Now, before we can kind of describe the differences, Kyle, I think it's best we give a little bit of a backdrop as to what are ICOs. This was a technology that was technically invented around 2016, 2017 with the advent of Ethereum blockchain, enabling programmers to use smart contracts to essentially create their own tokens, their own version of Bitcoin that they could create any kind of functionality into the coding. And therefore, we saw thousands of different ICOs launch as a result. As long as you were able to have a digital wallet, you could buy into one of these token sales that became ICOs when they first issued them. And as a result, Kyle, I'm sure you saw all kinds of use cases from saving the world to digitalizing various different aspects of industry. The problem was that none of these tokens ultimately came to fruition because of a lot of different rules that they ended up violating. It's a lot like owning a website where you can go ahead and register your domain and start selling things if you'd like or sharing information. Just make sure that you're not violating any laws. You can't be doing anything illegal on your website or you'll get the FBI or the SEC or any regulator to come and close down on you. And that's exactly what happened to many, many different ICOs. Some were outright scams. Others simply violated securities laws unknowingly, and many of them are still currently trying to figure out exactly where they fall. Isn't that right, Kyle?
Absolutely. So there were definitely, I think it was the Wild West is what they always would refer it to. And the reality was we had created this digital money and all these assets that were out of thin air almost essentially. And so many people felt like they didn't need to follow any laws because this was all made up and this was all created fresh. And so while there were some examples of things that were done that were not with securities laws and were not following the compliance that you need to, there was really some innovation in the ICO phase in determining how this technology could work. We've created digital assets that were permissionless, that didn't need anyone's oversight or didn't need any regulatory approval, and could figure out how to transfer that from one person to another in a cost-effective, immediate way. This is that settlement process that we talk about all the time, making sure that it happens immediately, making sure that we're doing this cost-effectively, quickly, across borders. Anyone around the world could trade overnight these assets. Then while these assets themselves had no underlying representation or no real investment opportunity there at all, the technology itself was proven here. It's kind of like the blockchain payment layer that we were able to establish with the ICO phase. And so while many of these things didn't work out and they've been crashing over the last couple of years, the technology and the underlying technology there was able to be used and salvaged in what we now see in security tokens.
In fact, I'd say in 2018 was really when we started to saw this change, as we saw the SEC get very active in starting to enforce, doing their job, and many of these ICOs that ended up violating these various securities laws. And that's where we started to see some clarity, where ICO issuers started to learn that, hey, just because I have a token doesn't mean I don't have to follow the rules. And therefore, the scrutiny came around the use case for the token. So when we talk about ICOs, even though we're really talking about any type of token, we're usually referring to what's known as utility tokens or payment tokens, in a sense where they typically don't either have any regulations to follow at all, or they're following the payments layer, as you just mentioned, for the various different jurisdictions around the world. Whereas with securities, the SEC actually has a specific way of validating and verifying when a token specifically looks like a security. Now, for those of you who are not familiar at this point, securities are investment contracts. That's what the SEC is here to enforce and protect investors from having issues with. And given, of course, the digital nature of security tokens, they were very much so, and ICOs, very much so keenly looking at this technology and making sure that the industry participants were aware of the various securities laws. And therefore, we started to see a separation between ICOs and security tokens. And now we have this new emergence of NFTs, which actually aren't technically utility tokens or security tokens at all, because NFTs stand for non-fungible tokens. So by design and by definition, they're actually each token being is unique.
So let's give a little timeline here. We started with ICOs. This was this created cryptocurrency out of thin air that allowed us to transact internationally effectively and all those good things. However, it didn't represent any actual investment. And so a lot of investors lost a ton of money because they were investing in something that really was worth nothing. Then we move into security tokens. The idea here was that at the start is that it was very compliant, that we were following all the securities laws, we were following the SEC's rules, but really now it's evolved into actually these asset-backed investments. So you want to buy into equities, you want to buy into real estate, or many of the thousands of exciting use cases we cover here on the podcast. That's what a security token is you're buying into a security, which is that definition, the financial definition of an investment contract into something cool. However, with a security token, they're not unique, right? If Herwig owns a share of Apple stock and I own a share of Apple stock, it doesn't really matter which one of those two I own, right? I only really care because I care about owning a share of Apple. I don't care about which share of Apple I own. And that's kind of where the NFT angle comes in. So not only are NFTs trying to separate themselves from that investment contract themselves and saying, no, we're collectibles, but we're unique collectibles. There's a one of one or one of 10. There's a serial number associated with these NFT assets. And they claim that as a collectible, they are separate from the rules and regulations applied by the SEC.
Now, these digital collectibles, as you say, they're often akin and analogized to art, right? Digital art. And the art world, long before blockchain and tokens, has been stripped out of the securities world for many different reasons. However, that doesn't prevent NFTs from potentially being labeled as security tokens by the SEC or international regulators. That's when you start to add certain characteristics to it that make them seem like investment contracts. Things like royalty and licensing rights, enabling you to a right to some kind of a profit, already immediately potentially makes it a security token because now it looks like an investment for somebody. On top of that, if you were to fractionalize ownership in the art, now you potentially, again, may be looking like a security because art isn't typically owned by a number of different people. It's usually owned by one individual who happens to be, you know, taking the pleasure of owning the actual art. In this case, you can't have multiple people owning and enjoying the art at the same time in that sense, potentially. So we're seeing articles come out saying, hey, NFT issuers, make sure you're aware and conscious of securities laws and making sure that you don't necessarily trip them up and find yourself in a problem.
Yeah, so in the same way as with ICOs, sometimes there were ICOs. Again, as we said, these are worthless cryptocurrencies, or you know, there's some value potentially, but nothing like owning equity in the company. You'd have cryptocurrencies that would do a compliant ICO where they would follow all of the securities laws set forth by the SEC, and then they would say, no, we're a security because we're following the compliance requirements. And the answer there is no. No, it's not a security token because it doesn't represent that underlying asset. It's still just a compliant ICO. In the same way, beware with NFTs. if the NFT does give you financial rights or some kind of right to the underlying asset or some kind of financial gain, that could be a security token that is a security token. Make sure that they're following the compliance regulations set forth by the SEC. On the flip side, just because they follow those laws doesn't necessarily make it a security token. It may just be a compliance NFT, which isn't the worst thing either.
Correct. I mean, I think we saw with Blockstacks, this is a great example. This is an ICO that did a compliant offering. They registered with the SEC. In their prospectus, they said, look, we don't consider this to be a security, but we're going to be proactive. We're going to be cautious just in case we do. Meanwhile, we're going to hopefully reach what we consider as decentralization, a term that the SEC actually uses to refer to what potentially is a true utility token. And therefore, actually, most recently, we saw Blockstack say, hey, by the way, SEC, we consider ourselves decentralized and no longer a security. So that's going to be an interesting use case to follow through. But let's review, everybody. To start out, we got ICOs. It's a technology that anybody can leverage, and it has nothing to do with current regulations or laws. What does matter is security token offerings, which follow securities laws and leverage the same ICO technology, but must follow specific rules and guidelines. And then we have NFTs, which are their own class of tokens, but may potentially be considered security tokens per certain characteristics or not, as long as they stick to those certain, you know, traits. And that's hopefully a refresher and a breakdown of the differences between ICOs, STOs, and NFTs for you.
Hopefully this was helpful for you. If you have any further questions or comments, you want to reach out to us, you can do that by leaving a comment in the YouTube comment section below or reaching out to us on LinkedIn or Twitter. You can find us anywhere on social media. But thanks again for checking it out.
Absolutely. And if you're on Clubhouse, the audio-only app, we're breaking down the show every week on Thursdays at 5 p.m. We'll be bringing many guest panelists on the Clubhouse as well, including CEOs of issuance platforms, marketplaces, other issuers, and other infrastructure providers. So be sure to check that out. And otherwise, you know, get your trading information, get the latest news, go to stomarket.com for all of that. And hopefully we'll catch you next week on Tuesday for episode 93.